that's Willow, so...
Willow booger!
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Chrissy.
I'm Shelby.
My eyes are itchy. Six. It's been a time. It's been a week. We have a really crappy week at work. For those of you who don't know, we work in a nondescript medical company.
Coming to you live from Coronavirus Watch 2020.
We're spraying some hand sanitizer in our hands right now.
After I touched my eyes, there's no help.
So, because of the coronavirus, our work has been bonkers. We work in a call center.
For doctors. We're the people you call to make your appointments. And do everything else.
We don't just make appointments. We do many things. And then Shelby and I actually do more than just that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to start this off by telling a story. I think it was on Wednesday.
Yes.
I had a wife call in to make an appointment for her husband because he was having an issue with an itchy rash. So, you know, our office, like, for dermatology is, like, impossible to get into, basically. Mm-hmm. So... I'm getting ready to send a message. So I'm like trying to get as much information from this guy, like this woman as possible, so I can let the doctors know what's going on. So I'm like, okay, is it red? Is it blotchy? What color is it? Is it crusty? Is it like wet? Like, what's going on with it? Mm-hmm. And I said, is it only on areas of the body that are covered by skin? And the woman was like, she's like, honey, I don't know if you know this, but the entire body is covered by skin. And I was like, I've made a mistake.
A terrible mistake.
Then we start giggling for like a good 35 seconds. And our calls are monitored by we have a quality team. And our calls are monitored by them. And I'm like thinking, they're going to hear this call and be like, oh, what the fuck?
She's an idiot.
But at least the patient was like, receptive to it, because I've also like had people where I accidentally say good morning instead of good afternoon. People are like, where are you located at? Mm-hmm. I'm like, by Taco Bell. And they're like, oh, because there's a Taco Bell by the office.
Mm-hmm. I'm just tired
and I never say the right time of day, no matter what it is. I'm like, good morning, good afternoon. Like, 7:30 in the morning, I'll say good afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's not because I don't know what time it is. It's because I don't care.
I'm so tired.
I just don't care enough to say the proper time of day. And I'm sure Timmy, who also works with us, can relate to this.
Mm-hmm. She just all the time just say good evening in a creepy Dracula
voice. Did she say that on the phone with people?
No, that's what I want to do. Like, no matter the time of day, just good evening. This is Shelby.
Good day. What if I just said good day?
Good morrow.
Good day, this is Chrissy. How can I help you?
Helpeth thee.
That's not. Ugh. Okay. So that was my story about work. I hope you all enjoyed it.
Chrissy's going first.
Yeah. So probably both episodes that we're recording today. I don't know why, but I wanted to go first. So, I'm telling the story of Roswell, New Mexico. And I felt that it was only fitting because I was a very avid fan of the X-Files growing up. Mm-hmm. I loved aliens.
You're more into aliens than I am, significantly.
You don't like aliens. You also don't like mermaids.
No.
You don't like things that could potentially be slimy.
This is true. But I like snakes because I know they're not slimy.
Yeah, but I always, like, if you imagined an alien... Do you think they'd be slimy?
I think they'd be some sort of wet.
See, I imagine aliens being like snakes where they look shiny and slimy, but they are not. Not like worms that are clammy.
Mm. clammy.
You know they are. They're like a little clammy.
I don't like worms. I don't like slugs. I don't like eels. No.
Well, you're just weird.
Yeah.
I have a story about my fascination with X-Files. Can I tell it real quick?
Of course. What am I going to say? No?
You know the story.
I do?
Yeah, it's... I had imaginary friends growing up. My mom can attest to this, I believe, and she listens to this, so hi, Mom. Hey. So I had imaginary friends growing up, and they were Mulder and Scully. So I'd imagine that was very, like, alarming for a lot of people. I called them my honeys.
I forgot that part. My honeys.
A little, like, three-year-old Chrissy waddling around, pretending to hold hands, so my hands are just, like, extended. I'm assuming.
With my honeys!
I'm pretty sure my mom had to, like, buckle them in, you know, as, like, most moms do with imaginary children. Aww. I don't know if you had one growing up. But I also had a pretty wild imagination. So, my dad is an antique dealer, and he, refinishes furniture. And, like, in order to strip furniture, there's, like, this chemical called muriatic acid. And stripping furniture is just taking, like, the layers of finish off so you can redo it.
Yeah.
There's muriatic acid, and I'm, like, 2 or 3 years old. I can't remember. I could talk, mm-hmm. but, like, not well enough to, like, be fully functioning by myself. So my mom takes me to Lowe's because she has to pick up muriatic acid for my dad. And we're at Lowe's, and I'm, like, wandering around. My mom can't find it. And my mom's, like, asking, like, the employee. She's like, hey, I can't find muriatic acid. Do you know where it's at? I wouldn't snuggle with that.
What's wrong with it?
I mean, it's just really old.
You
don't need to snuggle with anything, but you're gonna have to get up here anyway.
I'm here.
So my mom is like, do you know where the muriatic acid is? Ask an employee. He's like, is this your daughter?
God.
And mom's like, probably. Like, so I found the muriatic acid.
Oh.
I was like, Mom. I don't know what I said. Mm. I was a child.
Muriatic acid.
I don't know if I talked like that, but... And my mom was like, how'd you find that? And I was like, Mulder and Scully told me. And... Because I couldn't read, so clearly I didn't know what I was finding.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, Mulder and... My mom was like, her imaginary friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like, I'm gonna go. I gotta go.
What if they were ghosts? Then you're just like, well, it's Scully. And they're like, hey, kid, why not?
I mean, they might have been. I don't know. I don't remember them, which is, like, I guess a thing that happens.
Fairly Odd Parents. What if you had magical godparents?
But I had a good childhood, so I think you only get fairly godparents. Fairly godparents?
Fairly Odd Parents.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy godparents!
Right.
Mr.
Crocker. Okay, so that was my alien story.
Excellent.
Okay. Ready for this?
Yes.
So, on June 14th, 1947, William Brazel, not entirely sure how to say it, 1947.
Razzle-dazzle.
He noticed some debris on his land, which he lived on, like, a ranch.
So I was driving Timmy, and she said debris, but she said debris. And if you're Jewish, a bris is the ceremony where you give a baby boy a circumcision. So the whole first thing I was like, I'm going to debris.
Wait, do they have like a ceremony for it? Like, here we cut the foreskin.
Yeah, then you get like your Hebrew name and all that jazz.
But we have a funny story to tell about circumcisions.
Circumcisors.
Anyway, back to my story.
Okay.
So he noticed some debris on his land. It was about 30 miles north of Roswell. There are multiple reports on the date that it was found, but it was around that time on June 14th. I cannot read in the dark.
Timmy, give the groove!
Okay, I can read it. Wow.
I can see!
I can see clearly now, the lights are on. Okay, so Brazel told the Roswell Daily Record that he and his son saw a large area of bright wreckage made up of rubber strips, tin foil, and rather tough paper and strips. No. Sticks. I can't read.
And sticks.
And okay. Sticks. He paid little attention to it at first, but then I wrote that he returned on July
43rd. 43rd? Not 43rd, 43rd.
It was July 4th, because it was the 4th of July, but I wrote 43rd. With his son, wife, and daughter to gather the material. The next day, he heard reports of flying discs, and he wondered if that's what he could have found. He was like, ooh, maybe that's what this is. He saw Sheriff Wilcox the next day and told him, like, did, like, a secret whisper, and was like, I think I might have found something.
A secret whisper.
So Wilcox called the Roswell Army Air Force. He called Major Jesse Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
Marcel Gerard from the originals. Okay.
Nope. I was thinking Marcel the Shell.
We have different thought processes.
You know what I use as a hat? A lentil.
Marcel brought in Lieutenant Colonel Sheridan Cavett and Master Sergeant Bill Rickett. I had to remember what all these, like, abbreviations were.
Yeah.
He brought them to the ranch where the pieces were found, and they did find a couple more pieces, so they collected them. And on July 8th, the Roswell Army Air Force Public Information Officer Walter Haut, H-A-U-T.
Haut.
I can't read or spell, apparently.
That's Haut.
Haut.
Yeah.
He issued a press release stating that the personnel from the field's 509th Operations Group recovered a flying disc. Colonel William Blanchard, who is the commanding officer, contacted General Ramey of the 8th Air Force in Fort Worth, Texas. Ramey ordered that the object be flown to Fort Worth, and he was like, we need to see it. Mm. At the base, Warrant Officer Irving Newton confirmed that Ramey's preliminary opinion, he, like, confirmed it. He's like, this might be, like, who knows what it is.
Alien.
Oh, wait. No, I read this wrong.
No.
I haven't, like, listen, I did these notes, like, 2 months ago, so I can't remember.
Cool.
Okay, so he confirmed that Ramey's preliminary opinion, and he had identified the object as being a weather balloon and its kite, and the kite was, like, the radar reflector on the bottom of the weather balloon. So they changed their story from it being a flying disc to a weather balloon.
They always say it's a weather balloon. How many weather balloons do these people make?
So they issued another press release then and informed the public that the crash was of a weather balloon and not a flying disc. Between 1978 and the early 1990s, UFO researchers Stanton Friedman, William Moore, and Carl Flock and the team of Kevin Randall interviewed several hundred people who claimed that they had a connection to this Roswell thing. And Roswell's a pretty small town from what I believe. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they issued, like, the fact that they said they had so many people that were related to this was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
There were hundreds of documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. And from these interviews, they concluded that there was at least one alien spacecraft that crashed near Roswell, and alien bodies were recovered, and a government cover-up had taken place.
Mm-hmm.
There have been books, articles, television specials all about the events at Roswell. Public polls showed that the majority of people that were interviewed believe that aliens did visit Earth, and that aliens landed in Roswell, and that the relevant information was being kept a secret from by the U.S. government.
Okay.
So this is, like, a big old conspiracy theory. They don't know what's what. Mm-hmm. And people that believe in aliens tend to believe that this is a cover-up. And people that don't believe in aliens tend to believe that it was a weather balloon.
What is a weather balloon?
I don't know. I had to put a weather balloon up in, like, when I was in high school. And it was just, like, this giant black thing, and it flies with the air, mm-hmm. like the wind currents, so you can, like, know which direction the wind's flying, I guess. I don't know, and, like, atmospheric pressure, like, yeah. The air inside of the thing can, you know, how, like, pressure is
and
affected.
That's fine and dandy, but, like, I feel like that's the go-to, like, it wasn't a flying saucer, it was a weather balloon. How many weather balloons do you need? I don't believe you. I think it was aliens.
There's weather balloons up all the time. There, think how many meteorologists there are. I don't like your response.
Aliens.
Anthropologists say that the Roswell story is a prime example of how a discourse moved from the fringes to mainstream according to the prevailing zeitgeist. So basically, like, there was an obsession with conspiracy theories at the time. So this information, them making it into a conspiracy theory, really fit
mm-hmm.
well with, like, government cover-ups. Ooh, this must be one, too. Mm-hmm. So, basically, anthropologists said this is just kind of, like, a social norm of what happens during the time. Mm-hmm. So, this was happening, like, in the 80s is when this became, like, a really big, like, government cover-up. It was, like, when people started questioning it. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there was a lot of, like, thoughts about conspiracy theories and government cover-ups. So, mm-hmm. basically, they said it's just a social interaction type thing. Mm-hmm. By the time that 1994 came around, there were so many different accounts on the events. Like, there was a huge divide in ufologists.
I think that one's right.
Ufologists.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ufologists. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to call them. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I don't know English. Mm. The Center for UFO Studies and the Mutual UFO Network are the two of the leading UFO societies, and they disagreed on their views of the scenarios and how they were presented in different books. And there are a couple books that were written on these, like, events. There's, like, four main ones called The Roswell Incident, UFO Crash at Roswell, Crash at Corona.
Oh, no.
Dun, dun, dun. And The Day After Roswell. Since there were hundreds of people interviewed by different researchers, only a few of these people claim to have seen the debris or the aliens. Mm-hmm. So, although these people said they have a connection, only a few of them actually saw the debris. Mm-hmm. Most witnesses were repeating claims of others, and their testimony is considered to be hearsay, so it's not admissible as evidence or anything because, well, I heard that so-and-so saw this, so yeah. It doesn't count. And they counted those people as connections to the events, but mm-hmm. they really weren't. They were just saying, well, my neighbor down the street said they saw the debris, or my neighbor down the street said that their neighbor saw the debris. Mm-hmm. In the Roswell incident book, these claims, their claims to have been 90 people interviewed, but the testimony of only 25 people was included in the book. Mm-hmm. And of those 25, only 7 saw the debris and only 5 handled the debris. Mm-hmm. So the statistics are really weird because if 90 people were interviewed, but they only included 25 in the book, it kind of really skews the public, like, view of what is happening. Mm-hmm. Another book, The Roswell, Inconvenient Facts and the Will to Believe, Carl Flock makes a similar statement about the events at Roswell. He said, approximately 271 people are listed as contacted in an interview, but this does not include anyone who chose to remain anonymous. This means that there were over 300 people that were interviewed in regards to the event. Mm-hmm. And of the 300-plus witnesses, only 41 can be considered genuine first-hand or second-hand witnesses to the events. Mm-hmm. Only 23 can be thought to have actually seen physical evidence, and only 7 of the 23 suggested worldly origins, So, again, all of the statistics are really skewed because they didn't include a lot of them, and I think, like, scientifically, you have to include all the numbers for it to make sense. Mm. So, yeah, it skewed a lot of, like, the public view. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of problems that were identified by the critics who, like, read these books and articles. Are secondhand accounts reliable? Contradictory, outrageous claims made by witnesses. Like, oh my god, I saw an alien, that kind of stuff. Like, are those believable? And if it's such, like, an outlier, like, do we even take it into consideration? Mm-hmm. Deathbed confessions happened a lot. Oh. And then accounts that were made from elderly / easily confused people. Mm. And we know that elderly people can get their, like, views mixed up a lot. Mm-hmm. Flock states that only 4 credible witnesses were interviewed, and he does give, like, the names of them. The problem with these witnesses is that all accounts came from a minimum of 31 years after the events, in some cases over 40 years later.
Oh.
So they interviewed these people so long after the fact, and memories from this long ago are really subject to contamination from outside events. So because they were part, like, they saw this happen when it happened, but then they lived through the 80s whenever all the government conspiracy crap happened, it's really subject to be contaminated by those outside events. Mm-hmm. The General Accounting Office launched an inquiry. I can never say that word.
Inquiry?
Yes.
Cool.
And directed the Office of the United States Secretary of the Air Force to conduct an internal investigation, and this resulted in 2 different reports. Mm-hmm. Report 1 was released in 1994. It concluded that the debris that was recovered in 1947 was likely from Project Mogul, which was a military surveillance program using high-altitude balloons. Mm-hmm. Then Report 2, which was released in 1997, concluded that reports of recovered alien bodies were likely a combination of transformed memories of accidents involving military casualties with memories of recovering anthropomorphic dummies in military military programs such as Operation High Dive in the 1950s, mixed with the hoaxes perpetuated by the UFO sighting. So I guess in this operation, they had, like, a lot of dummies, and it was publicized. Mm-hmm. So they were like, oh my god, aliens. So it's just, like, a lot of, like, confusing memories. Mm-hmm. In the 1990s, skeptics and even some social anthropologists saw an increasingly elaborate stories about the events. Alien, including, like, alien crash landings and cover-ups. Mm-hmm. So, like, more and more were coming up about alien crash landings. And many people still believe that an alien UFO crashed at Roswell, and they believe the cover-up is a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. In September of 2017, so pretty recently, mm-hmm. The UK newspaper The Guardian reported on Kodachrome slides, which some claim to show a dead space alien. So I guess there was, like, this convention. There was this thing called Be Witness. It was an event in Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it was just about aliens or what it was about, but it was, like, this convention in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was revealed that the slides were of a mummified Native American child who was discovered in 1896. So, these slides were presented as aliens, like, as a mummified alien, but it ended up being just a child.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is. There's also this thing called Roswellian syndrome, and Joe Nickel and James McGaha, M-C-G-A-H-A, McGaha, I don't know, they identified a myth-making process and dubbed it the Roswellian syndrome.
Cool.
Not Roswellian.
Roswellies!
Roswellian syndrome. And there are 5 distinct stages of the development in this myth-making process. It's incident, debunking, mm-hmm. submergence, mythologizing, and reemergence and media bandwagon effect. So that really follows how the whole thing with Roswell happened. Mm-hmm. And they predicted that this process would play out many times in other UFO and other conspiracies, like other government things, because mm-hmm. there was a conflict, a resolution, and then it was, like, hidden again. It was, like, it was a myth, and then it was brought back up, and then the government, it's probably syrup on your arm.
I have syrup on my arm.
So, yeah. They said it would fall out again under things. Mm-hmm. Then, there was an alien autopsy hoax, which I kind of remember hearing about this, but also I was 2 at the time, so I don't know how I remember hearing about it, but I also used to watch a lot of alien
UFO sightings. Maybe Mulder and Scully told you.
They told me.
Yeah. Maybe they were aliens. Invisible aliens.
Well, that'd be a plot twist.
Ooh.
In 1995, there was film footage alleged to show an alien... Oh god, I just burped a little bit. Let me start that over again. In 1995, there was film footage... There was film footage alleged to show an alien autopsy and claimed to have been taken by a U.S. military official shortly after the events at Roswell.
Oh, I remember those pictures.
Yeah, it was released by Ray Santilli, and he is a video entrepreneur. I don't know what that means. The video aired on television networks around the world and caused an international interest. Santilli eventually admitted that the film was mostly a reconstruction, but he claims that it was based on genuine footage that is now lost, and some original frames still survived.
Okay.
In 2007, Bill Richardson, who was a Democratic candidate for the U.S. presidential election, was asked about the files on Roswell. Richardson said that when he was a congressman, he attempted to get more information, but was told by the Department of Defense and the Los Alamos labs that the information was classified. Mm-hmm. Richardson also went on to say, the government doesn't tell the truth as much as it should on a lot of issues. Yeah. And then, in 2015, our boy, President Barack Obama, was interviewed by GQ magazine, and they asked if he had looked up any top secret information. Mm-hmm. And he replied with, "I gotta tell you, it's a little disappointing. Mm. People always ask me about Roswell and the aliens and UFOs, and it turns out the stuff going on that's top secret isn't nearly as exciting as you expect. In this day and age, it's not as top secret as you'd think."
Aww.
So that's what our boy said.
Barack!
But also, he was president.
Ooh, could he?
Yes.
Could he, though?
So, yeah, that was my thoughts on Roswell. What are your thoughts? Well, those weren't my thoughts. Those are the facts.
I really want... So, I believe in aliens. The universe is too big for there not to be other life. That's ridiculous. Whether they are the green men with the giant black eyes that we see in movies and television, I don't know. But also, like, I don't know why aliens would want to come here.
Well, not right now.
Not right now. For sure. But, like, why? Like, would it be bad? Like, would they be malicious?
Well, like, it's just weird because, like, we are not a great species.
No.
And I don't know. Unless, like, they're less...
developed.
Yeah, and they're like, ooh, what's this?
Yeah. But if they can come up with space travel, they're clearly more intelligent than us in some capacity.
Well, in some capacity, yeah, but maybe they don't have antibiotics. Maybe they don't need antibiotics.
That'd be cool.
But...
what if they're, like, plant people?
That'd be interesting.
I don't know. I want it to be real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want some alien creature being kidnapped and autopsied. That just sounds very cruel and sad. Yeah. But I want that whole thing to be real.
Like, I want one to die of natural causes and then us...
let's find it. Be like, oh, shit.
Let's donate that body to science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to know, but I know we won't ever know.
Mm-hmm. Is that yours or mine?
Me.
Oh.
My tummy gurgled.
Okay. I just want the aliens to be real. What are your thoughts, besides the facts that you read?
I don't think it's a government cover-up. Like, I don't think there was a recovered alien body.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was debris that was found that could have been something that mm-hmm. wasn't from us.
Mm-hmm.
But also, that could have just been, like, mm-hmm. space metal.
Okay.
Like, I don't think, like, the cover-up is as grand as it mm-hmm. there, people make it seem, like, mm-hmm. but I do think that it was something that wasn't from us.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Like, part of a meteor or something.
Yeah. Like, who knows? Yeah. There's stuff floating up in space that can come down.
Space dust. The Space Pope. I love Space Pope.
I don't know what that is.
It's from Futurama. Okay. He's a lizard and he wears a Pope outfit and he goes like this. I'm just holding up a peace sign. The Space Pope does that.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening. It's your turn.
Yay! Okay, so mine's pretty short, but, you know, it's happy because it's Disneyland, which...
is not happy at the moment.
No, because they closed, and I was so sad.
But that's for the best.
It's for the best, but, like, I was real tempted, to buy tickets and go to Disney World because it was cheap. Because the lines at Universal are, like, nothing.
Did they close Universal or no?
I don't know. I should probably look that up. But, like, I keep seeing videos of people, like, I'm going on Men in Black and there's no wait. I'm going on, like, the Harry Potter ride that's in the bank.
I'm looking it up right now.
There's no wait. I'm just like, I'm so...
Timmy, is Universal closed?
Ask Sierra. She'll know. She knows these things. Sierra, tell me. Tell me through the interwebs. Listen to me now. Hear my voice and come to me.
Universal Studios.
Timmy, throw on the group while we find this.
You can keep talking. I'll interrupt you. No, just talk. I'll find it.
Okay. So
yes, they are closed.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No, that's Hollywood.
Oh. Orlando. I know. So Sierra told me Islands of Adventure was closed, not the other bit.
Well, that makes no sense.
I know, because Islands of Adventure has the most stuff, right? Does it? I don't know. I've been there once. It was very fun. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10 experience.
The park is closed, but they still expect employees to show up for their shifts and get paid.
Huh?
If they want to get paid.
Wait, so they have to show up and do nothing?
Yeah, the park is closed, but they still expect their employees... This girl just tweeted... So Universal Orlando still expects its operations employees to show up for their shifts if they want to get paid, even though the parks will be closed. I've never been more disappointed in this company. Guess it's a great time to transfer to Disney.
Ooh, wow. Shade. Yeah, because Disney's paying their cast members.
Yeah, except youth pastor Ryan because he took off the CTO.
Oh, I hope he listens. And that's really unfortunate, Ryan. I'm very sorry. You planned bad.
No, well.
Okay.
Poor timing on your part, timing. But it's okay. We also had plans ruined by the virus, so it's okay.
Fuck you, Corona. So I did Disneyland. I didn't do all the Disney parks because Disneyland has the most.
It's the oldest.
It's the oldest and the spookiest.
Yeah.
So Disneyland opened its gates July 17th, 1955 in Anaheim, California. It used to be...
How did you say Anaheim?
Anaheim?
You said Anaheim.
Anaheim. Anaheim, California. It used to be an orange grove farmland. The only reason I know that is because I watched the 50th anniversary of Disneyland fireworks special, and they have a projection show that's like, what used to be orange groves is now blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh. I like the little plaque. I think this is also at Disney World. Mm-hmm. Here you leave today and enter the world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy.
I think that is it. Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. And then I put Walt Disney's speech for when it opened. It actually had a really crappy opening.
Wasn't it, like, super hot?
So it was 101 degrees. Women's high-heeled shoes were, like, going, melting into the asphalt.
There's a really good documentary on Disney Plus about it. It's yeah. really good.
And, like, they had some issues with the water, so they had to choose either bathrooms or water fountains. And they chose bathrooms.
That's a good choice.
It is a very good choice. But people thought it was a conspiracy, so, because it was, like, apparently Disney at the time was a Pepsi place.
Oh.
So they would buy more Pepsi products, because they had no water fountain.
They're a Coke place now, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I get water.
Yeah. Which I thought was hilarious. But now, with all the other parks, like, they make sure there are tons of bathrooms, tons of water fountains. Like, they fixed it. Real fast.
Well, I know, like, if you go to Disney World, there's, like, a bathroom every five steps.
Mm-hmm. There's also, like, a trash can every...
Well, I mean, that's just, like, so convenient.
Yeah. Well, didn't... There's the story that he would, like, walk around, he's like, how long will someone actually hold on to a piece of trash?
Yeah.
And they, like, calculated it out so there's a trash can every single amount of steps.
Hey, it makes it easier on the cast members. Just so y'all know, we are huge Disney people. Mm-hmm. We plan Disney trips all the time. We want to be Disney travel agents, but that's really hard to do, so we are doing a podcast instead.
About creepy stuff, but it includes Disney! So I wanted to read part of his speech from the opening day, because I love it. To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land. Here age relives fond memories of the past, and here youth may savor the challenge and promise of the future. Disneyland is dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that have created America, with the hope that it will be a source of joy and inspiration to all the world.
What a dude.
No, it was really sweet.
Yeah.
I just, it's so nice. And, like, the, so at the time, most amusement parks were, like, the Carney run.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, like, shady and seedy and kind of gross.
Yeah.
So Disney first spoke about creating this park when he was with his daughters. They were riding a carousel at Griffith Park in Los Angeles, and he was on a bench. And he was like, I want... And he watched them, like, on this carousel. He wanted to create a place that families could enjoy together while children can play and parents could relax.
Mm-hmm.
Which Disney is.
Yeah.
At least in Disney World, like, I had fun going there as a child, and I went as a teenager, and I had my angsty emo phase. We don't count that.
I never went as a child.
Oh, I did. There's a video somewhere, because it was my fifth birthday, and we went with my dad's parents, mm-hmm. and my parents, of course. And my dad has this giant camcorder, like one of the huge motherfuckers. And he's singing Happy Birthday, and I'm, like, curled up in bed, and it's, like, 5 a.m. or something, and I'm in a diaper, and I just, like, kick him.
How old were you?
Like 5.
In a diaper?
I did pull-ups or something. I don't know. I was younger than 5 then. I was in my underwear.
Okay.
Anyway.
I changed the story.
Whatever. But I kick him, like, and I think I kicked him in the balls in the middle of him singing me Happy Birthday. Because I was like, don't wake me.
You're still like that.
I am still like, I like my sleep. Especially during the daytime. I'm a vampire. But.
I'm not singing it.
No. And then my grandma wrote It's a Small World with me like 15 times.
I read that once and it was very creepy.
It is creepy. Going later, I realized how creepy it was, but as a child, because I don't...
Have you read Peter Pan?
Of course.
I've only read it once.
It's nice. But like as a child, I also don't like the heat, so why I like Disney World so much, I have no idea. But going on an indoor dark water ride was great. That's how I'm justifying it to myself. Not that I actually like the music. I can't believe that Tiny Shelby liked that dumb song. But my grandma is a very nice lady, and went through it with me and didn't judge me. And that's I was good. Also scared to go on Haunted Mansion. Now I am not. I love it. It's my favorite ride.
Probably my favorite.
So, by the 1940s, Walt Disney Studios had become well known for its cartoon characters, including Mickey Mouse and animated films like Snow White. I think Snow White actually won an Oscar mm-hmm. for animated films, and it really, like, made the studio what it was. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how they got most of their money. She's my favorite princess. She is the OG. She is how Disney became Disney. You can fight me.
Other than Mickey,
but she's like...
It all began with a mouse.
It all began with a mouse, and then Snow White came in and gave me all the big bucks.
Okay.
Disney started receiving letters from fans who wanted to visit the studios. They wanted to do more than just go to the movies. They wanted to be a part of an experience. Walt Disney knew that the actual studio wouldn't be much in terms of entertainment because it's just a bunch of people drawing at the time and animating and all that stuff. So he started dreaming up a place for tourists to visit. He spoke of creating a place both children and adults could enjoy where their favorite characters and films could come to life. Which I'm pretty sure he's like one of the first to be like, here's your characters from your films and they'll talk and interact with you as they were in the movies. Mm-hmm. I feel like he like...
Started that.
He started all that. And like the whole Disney, not just Disney the empire as a company, but just Disney the parks mm-hmm. as an empire.
Yeah.
Is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And not, and I am a little biased because I love them and I think they're fun, but just like...
Other than the prices.
Yeah, other than the prices. That immersive experience, which
you
like...
You can't beat it.
No, which like hasn't been rivaled since Harry Potter World and Disney World and Universal.
Yeah, that's the only thing that can really compare, yeah. I think. Like, I've been to King's Dominion and like Six Flags mm-hmm. and nothing can compare to like the joy that Disney yeah. brings.
You're walking into a different world.
100%. Yeah. And it's like... I don't know. Maybe that's why there's so many ghosties.
Yeah. And I think, so 14 million people visit just Disneyland annually.
Just Disneyland annually. Which is, for those who don't know, Disneyland is much, much smaller.
Yes.
It's only one park. Well,
yeah, so there's
it's one park.
Magic Kingdom, and then there's California Adventure.
Yeah.
I would love to go. I want to visit every single park at some point. At some point, I want to go to every single park. Disneyland and Tokyo Disney are, like, my two, like, I need to.
I don't know if I want to go to Tokyo Disney. It looks confusing.
I love Tokyo Disney. The merch and the food looks so good. And Disney Sea.
I don't understand that.
I love it. Okay. Sorry. So let's get to the ghosts. So there's 10 big ones.
10,
like, big stories.
I've seen a couple videos of it, so go ahead.
So the first one is Space Mountain Mr. One Way.
Okay.
So he is described as a large man with red hair and a red face. The legend has it that he sits and goes with single riders, and he gets with you on Space Mountain, and then at the end, he's gone.
So he, oh.
Yeah, he just disappears. He's also been spotted in cast member locker rooms.
Creepy.
I don't like
Maybe
that.
Maybe he was a cast member.
Maybe. So, a lot of them come up like, either people snuck into the parks mm-hmm. and died. Don't sneak into places you shouldn't.
You can't sneak into Disney.
No.
It's like...
Or, like, something happened to a cast member.
Yeah.
So, here's... Speaking of sneaking. Monorail runner. In June of 1966, a teenager tried to sneak onto Disneyland for grad night by climbing a fence and crossing the monorail track. When he was spotted by a security guard, the teenager ran. He was struck and killed by the monorail train. It is said that the ghost of the teenager can be seen at night running alongside the monorail train.
That's creepy. I don't like that.
It's creepy.
Also, the monorail is not a slow moving.
No.
What's that? The people mover is a slow one.
Yeah, the people movers are slow.
That'd still hurt to get hit by that.
It would hurt, yeah.
To get bit. I mean, I get upset when I get bumped into in the grocery store, but.
Yeah. Okay. Then we have the Matterhorn ghost.
This one.
In 1984, a woman named Dolly Young was killed when she was thrown from the bobsled. Ever since her death, cast members who were required to walk the tracks when the ride shuts down say they can hear her. Some cast members call the section of the track where Dolly died Dolly's Dip.
So the Matterhorn is a bobsled ride. It's
right.
not a roller coaster.
Right.
It goes up, it goes down a
yeah.
fake mountain.
Mm-hmm. It's cute, but that's scary.
It's also trackless, I think. I think it's on like a...
Yeah.
Tubi.
Yeah.
Tubi.
And I think you weren't... I don't know if you're buckled in now, but I know you weren't in the beginning.
Oh, I'm sure you are now.
Yeah. I'm going to skip the crying boy because I want to do him second to last because he's like the biggie.
Creepy.
Yeah. Now we have the man with the cane. A small plane crashed in the 1940s in Anaheim, so this is when it was, like, farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And the pilot is now believed to be haunting the haunted mansion. According to Seek Ghosts at Blogspot, a cast member saw the man with a cane load at the loading dock where guests board the doom buggies.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, this one I like, kind of. I mean, she makes me happy. The woman in white. A ghost dressed in 19th century gown has been spotted on Main Street after dark. Legend has it she guides lost children to the Disneyland Baby Care Center where they can be reunited with their parents.
Aww. Mm. Why is she... Is she, like, a cast member? Because I know, like, they have cast members that walk around.
What I'm hoping and what I really hope this is she was a cast member dressed up like Main Street people.
Mm-hmm.
She died. This was her happy place. And she came back.
I'm going to come back and help children.
Yeah, that would make me happy.
Yeah.
There's the spirit in the river. This one's sad. In June of 1973, two brothers stayed on Tom Sawyer Islands after the park closed. They tried to escape by swimming across the rivers of America. The older brother drowned. Cast members have seen the ghost rippling in the water.
I don't like that either.
Don't sneak on to property. It's not safe.
Also, Tom Sawyer Island is creepy in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been on it? The one at Disney World?
I think once when I was very little.
That's like the Huck Finn thing.
Yeah.
Like where you have to like go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I went when I
was really very little. It's really cool, mm-hmm. but it creeped me out for some reason.
Well, this could be why. Here's another one. The ghost that prefers blondes. A teenager was killed on the People Mover ride
in
1967. Legend has it that the ghost haunts Tomorrowland. The People Mover closed in 1995. The ghost reportedly grabs the hair of blonde guests.
Well, we're good.
Yeah. We both got the darks. That was weird. I'm sorry.
We got the runs.
No.
I'm gonna use that whenever I say I have the poops again.
Okay, good.
I got the darks, Shelby.
This one is called Really, Really Scary. Construction of the Haunted Mansion begun in 1963, mm-hmm. the best ride ever. And the story goes that one of the first test guests was so scared she died of a heart attack inside the mansion.
Okay. Disney is not, like, Haunted Mansion is not scary.
So
Was it scary?
Yeah.
Oh.
So when they were first making it, it was like a haunted mansion from like a carnival. So there were like jump scares and stuff. That's what I remember.
One time I got stuck on... Because you know how like the track stops sometimes if someone like accidentally gets out?
Mm-hmm.
They stop it. I got... You know the section where you're in the hallway?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hallway where all the picture frames are at that you're kind of going up a hill a little mm-hmm. bit. I got stuck there, so I just got stuck with... like, the frames moving and the doors opening and closing. So I was just like... Because every time I go with my parents, I always do the single rider because I can go by my... I don't know. I just, mm-hmm. like, let my parents ride together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just sitting there, like... Mm-hmm. And the door's like... Yeah. In, like, a rhythmic fashion. I'm like...
Mm-hmm.
That's like, please stay inside your buggy.
Yeah. I remember I went with Rachel and mm-hmm. we got stuck when you're going backwards into like the outside bit, and then we also got stuck where there's the guy in the coffin like going like
yeah. I got stuck there too once.
I was like, jeez.
Yeah, I got stuck there once too.
We also got stuck on pirates right in front of the skeletons where there's the mermaid skeleton. And she's like, hey, look. And I was like, don't shoot me.
I would love to get stuck on pirates. That's probably my favorite ride.
Yeah. So legend has it that her death led to the closing of construction until 1969, and then they started doing it again. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when they made it less scary.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna watch that movie.
Yeah. Here's the crying boy. There's pictures that I will show you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this story about a boy who loved the Haunted Mansion. That was his favorite ride. And he unfortunately died young. And his mother went to Disneyland and asked, can I spread his ashes, like, mm-hmm. on the grounds of the ride? And they said, no, because that's a biohazard. She did it anyway. So she spread the ashes, and now legend has it that you can see him. Sometimes people see him at the exit or entrance crying, trying to find his mom. There's a picture of him in a doom buggy, like, peeking around where, like, no one was in the doom buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the person was taking pictures, and he's just there. You can see him in, like, corners and stuff, and it's just this little boy with these glowing eyes. But, yeah, he's the big one that most people think of, and it's kind of sad. He also has been known to appear on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Well,
he has good taste.
He does.
Mm-hmm. And the number one, the OG, Mr. Walt Disney himself. So Walt Disney had an apartment above the fire station on Main Street, USA, in Disneyland. A lot of people know this. So he would go there, change out of his suit into some comfier Mr. Rogers clothes, and walk the grounds as he did, because he loved just going to the park and seeing people and making them happy mm-hmm. and making sure everything was running in tip-top shape. And also his family would be there, and that'd be a place for them to, like, hang out and chill. Yeah. And he could do work and watch the park. There would be a light on when, so everyone knew.
A Bloody Mary on your shirt.
Thanks.
So I'm not staring at your titties.
I mean... but he
what if I was?
What if you were? So he would leave a light on so the cast members would know he's there. So yeah. Like, hey,
be on your best behavior.
Do your job.
Do they leave it on all the time now?
Yes, because aww. So he passed away.
I heard about yeah, okay.
He passed away, and the light has never turned off as a tribute to Walt, and he died in 1966, but. At a certain point, a cast member went in there, because some people will take tours in there, and they'll show them, and they'll leave, and she went in to clean, so she turned the light off, and she was about to leave, and it came back on, so she goes over, and she turns it off again, she goes to leave,
mm-hmm.
and it turns back on, and she goes over to turn it off again, and she hears this voice that goes, I'm still here, so aww. People leave it on for Walt, because he's still there, watching the park, and making sure that it's okay.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
That makes me, like, sad, but also, like,
yeah.
Why'd she keep turning it off?
I don't... I think
they just changed the light bulb real quick, and you're like, oh, gotta do it real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just didn't register. She might have been new, and she's like, I gotta clean this, and wasted electricity here. Just
yeah, came probably. Back on.
Now, a lot of the ghosts and people have tried to debunk them. It's, like, the same, like, mirror and smoke and mirrors that they do in the Haunted Mansion with, like, my favorite is the ballroom scene, because yeah. I just love how it looks. Stuff like that. Especially the rider, the red man on the on the Space Mountain. There's also been ghosts seen on Tower of Terror.
Yep. I love that ride.
Yeah. And a lot of people think, like, not only just, like, people dying around the parks or wanting to be there, there's a lot of energy that goes through these parks all the time. And people do bring ashes and sprinkle them places that they shouldn't.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Don't do that. It's a biohazard.
It's also disturbing.
Don't do that. If someone has to come up and clean that, that's really odd for them. Don't do it. No.
Do it in the mountains.
Somewhere. Do it, like, in a park far away.
Not
that you can overlook Disneyland.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of energy that comes through that park, so people think, like, people just bring ghosts and people want to stay.
Yeah.
There's the Haunted Mansion says we have 999 happy haunts, and mm-hmm. you can apply to be one.
Yeah.
And that'll just... Like, if the afterlife and all that is real, I feel like I'd be a ghost and be like, you know what, I'm going to retire to the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lovely place.
It does.
You're just being happy and roaming around and...
Oh, that made me happy. That was a good story.
Yeah. Smelling sugar.
Oh, Disney smell. Mm. Oh, I love those candles that smell like Disney.
You know, Storybook Circus?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that smell.
I know. They have, like, candles that smell like mm-hmm. it.
So that's Disneyland.
Alright, so, do you want to sign off?
Yes. So, I have an ending that I want to do. This is what my dad used to do for me when I left for school, and I always thought it was really sweet. So he'd always tell me, be safe, have some fun, make some new friends, learn something new, and come home to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't really come home to me. Don't come to my house. I would love to meet you, just not at my house. So I would like to do, be safe, have fun, make some new friends. I hope you learn something new and come back here.
No. Yay. Cool beans.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Wow, I just shit myself.